Good afternoon. This is Ralph Jensen. I'm editor of Security Products Magazine. This afternoon, I'm talking to Joe Stewart, who is a senior security researcher at SecureWorks. He researches unusual internet activity to discover emerging threats, new attack techniques, and the latest malicious code. The reason that I've got Joe on the line and talking to him is because of a stormworm Trojan that made itself known today. Good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon.
Got a few questions, if you have a few minutes. First of all, would you give our listeners a brief explanation of what the stormworm Trojan is?
Sure. Well, Storm is a botnet Trojan. So it's designed to infect computers, then turn them into engines for sending spam, and sometimes denial of service attacks. But it's all controlled by one individual or group. So one of the things that people find interesting about it is its use of peer-to-peer communication in order to avoid having its central control point shut down. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. It's a botnet, and it's a Trojan.
Why in the world should we be concerned about it?
Well, we've estimated that probably accumulated somewhere between 250,000 and 1 million hosts in this botnet, which is enough power to launch a denial of service attack against just about anyone, you know, even entire countries, kind of like what we saw earlier this year with the Estonia denial of service attacks. So pretty powerful. And you know, on top of all that, it's constantly spewing out spam, which is, you know, just clogging up email servers and generally adding to the overall spam problem on the internet.
Well, this week it was reported that there were two new developments related to the Stormworm Trojan. Would you mind telling us about those?
Sure. Well, I mentioned that Storm uses peer-to-peer to communicate, and up until last week, it was using the Overnet peer-to-peer network, which is the network used by eDonkey and some other peer-to-peer clients. But that traffic that it sends, you know, this peer-to-peer communication, is now being encrypted so that only the peers who share a common encryption key are able to communicate with each other. So it puts all the bots in their own private peer-to-peer network that's not, you know, associated with Overnet or anywhere else. You know, just the ones that have this key can talk to each other. So, you know, with each released variant, you know, you could have a different key. And so what you end up with is multiple smaller but separate storm botnets instead of this one gigantic monolithic one. And the other development, I guess, as of last night, is Storm is now using MP3 audio attachments in the spam that it's sending. So instead of reading the pump and dump stock pitch that you're seeing, you can listen to it.
Well, when you talk about encryption, does that make it harder or is it easier for security analysts to spot the Storm Trojan?
Well, in some ways it'll make it easier. This is because before, when we saw this overnet traffic, it was difficult to tell if this was a storm-infected computer or if this was simply someone searching for files using eDonkey. But now, when we see this encrypted traffic, that we know what it is. It's a storm node.
You mentioned that that it's it has an MP3 attachment. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, the MP3 attachments sound like a computer-synthesized British woman's voice reading a pump-and-dump stock pitch. So sending audio files that are slightly different from email to email. They're all reading the same thing, but they change the files so that they end up being anywhere from 50 kilobytes to 100 kilobytes in size. Just kind of a small MP3 attachment.
Why do you think hackers behind the storm has switched to sending the stock spam via MP3 files?
Well, Storm has a history of trying different ways to send stock pitches in a way that'll get through spam filters. So it used to put the text in a JPEG or a GIF image, you know, in order to try to keep people from just, you know, simply put the text of it and just determining it was spam. But so when the spam filters caught up and were able to look at these JPEG and GIF images, then they switched over and they started using Excel spreadsheets, and they put it in there, and then they started using Adobe Acrobat files, PDF files. So they've been doing this all along, is trying to evolve past whatever the spam filters are going and trying to get through.
Well, then, are MP3 files harder for filters to catch?
Yeah, well, I mean, your current filters are mostly looking at text. Some of them can look at image files using optical character recognition, but no anti-spam filter I know of uses speech recognition. So right now they're pretty much blind to whatever's inside of that MP3.
Last question then. How can end users and security specialists protect themselves and their companies from this new wave of spam?
Well, they may not have to. It's possible that MP3 spam won't be very successful, and the spammers may stop. You know, it's something that they're trying out for the first time. If it is successful, then it's probably going to be another arms race, the same way that we've seen in the past, as spam filters get more intelligence, and they're going to have to, you know, start looking into those audio files. The only problem with that is that some services send you voicemail messages via MP3 file attachments and email. So you're getting things that, you know, look a lot like this spam, legitimately perhaps, if you subscribe to one of these voicemail services that will email you your voicemail. So the only way to accurately discern between, you know, this kind of spam and a legitimate voicemail MP3 would be to do some sort of speech recognition, and as we all know, that technology is kind of always eluded perfection.
Joe, I know I said one last question, but I guess I have another one, and that would be, don't open something if you don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah, and even then, I mean, that's a little bit outdated. You really shouldn't open something, even if you do recognize where it came from, if you weren't expecting it. Because a lot of times these spams, and especially viruses, will pretend to be from somebody that you know. So if you get something unexpected as an attachment, you should really first email that person and say, hey, what is this? You know, why'd you send me this? And you know, then you might be all right.
Joe, thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it, and I'm sure our listeners will appreciate the added knowledge from this podcast.
It was my pleasure.